Oh, good morning. So yesterday was what day? Of course, it was Valentine's Day. And Valentine's Day is all about love. And I know here in Japan we also celebrate White Day, where the men reciprocate the gifts that they got from the ladies. But traditionally in America, on Valentine's Day, both men and women give gifts to each other. They give flowers and candy and other gifts and jewelry to the ladies and a card, as a way to express their love to each other on Valentine's Day. But how many of us know the story of Valentine's Day and where we get Valentine's Day from? So I want to tell you the story about a man named Valentinus. Now, Valentinus was a Roman priest during the reign of Emperor Claudius. Now, this emperor, he was not a fan of Christianity, and he was actually persecuting the church during the time of Valentinus. And at this time, the emperor, he decided to pass a law that forbid people from getting married, because he believed that married soldiers didn't make very good soldiers. He felt that married people wouldn't fight as hard because they were afraid to die and they would be worried about what happened to their families if they died. Now, Valentinus, being a Christian, he disagreed with this law. And he actually thought married soldiers would fight harder because they wanted to end the war quicker and be able to get back home to their families. So he began to secretly marry people in the church. And eventually, Valentinus was caught, and he was thrown in jail. And at this point in his story that the truth from the legend of Valentine becomes a little mixed up. But one of the stories says that while he was in prison, one of the men who was going to judge him had a daughter who was blind. And this judge went to Valentinus and said, "Will you pray for my daughter?" So Valentinus prays for the daughter, and the daughter, her sight comes back. She is healed. And this emperor, he's so happy with this that he becomes, this judge becomes a Christian. And the story says that Valentinus falls in love with the daughter, even though he's in prison. And it was in the year 269 AD that Valentinus was sentenced to die. And the story says that the last thing that he wrote was a letter to this girl that he had healed. And he closed the letter by saying, "From your Valentine." And this is where we get the day for St. Valentine, in honor of Valentinus. But how much of the story is real and how much of it is fiction is up for debate. There was a man, a priest named Valentinus, who secretly married people, but whether he healed this girl and signed the letter that way may be legend. But the fact is, people celebrate love in the world today. People celebrate it in different ways. Unfortunately, the word love has kind of lost its meaning because we say we love everything. You can hear people say it anytime in society. They say, "Oh, you know, I really love that movie," or "I really love that song," or "I really love ice cream," or "I love the way these clothes look on me." People, they use the word love for just about anything, and it's kind of become overused. You know, other people, they'll say, "You know, I love my wife, I love my husband, I love my children." So does it mean the same thing when I say I love my wife and then I turn around and say, "Oh, I love that movie"? Now, I hope it doesn't mean the same thing. I hope we're really loving our spouse and that we're just really liking the movie. See, what happens when we experience a good thing like ice cream or a movie, we get these good feelings and we confuse those with love. And so we've kind of tended to just say we love things. But there's a song that I would say that I love that's had an impact on my life, and it's a song called "How He Loves." And the song is written by a man named John Mark McMillan. And in this song, he talks about God's love for us. And when he wrote the song, he said he wasn't writing a love song that is pretty and safe and would be a Hollywood kind of love. It's talking about a love that loves during the difficult times in life. You see, he wrote this song during a very rough time in his life. He was actually at a recording studio getting ready to make an album, and he received a phone call that said his best friend had been killed in a car accident. And he couldn't understand why God had allowed this to happen. And he became angry and frustrated with God. And he just didn't know how to respond. So he decided he needed to have a talk with God. And he said, "You know, when I was talking with God, I didn't hold anything back. I really let God know how I felt. I told him that I was mad at him. I told him that I was frustrated and confused." And he said it was during that conversation, even though it was really a messy conversation, that he felt God loving him. And he knew that God, if God could love him during that kind of conversation, then God could love him no matter what. So he wrote this song as an expression of God's love for us. And at the end of my message today, I'm going to have Brad play the song for us. And you have the lyrics in your bulletin so you can follow along with the song when it's playing. Or if you're kind of falling asleep, you can start to read them now. So today I want to talk about the love that God has for us. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 16. It says this, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world, so that we might live through Him. In this love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us, and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in Him, and He in us, because He has given us His Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent His Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. So we have come to know and to believe that the love God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." So this passage, it's all about love. It's all about God's love and God's love for us. In verse 8, John states this fact, that God is love. Now this is such a deep topic that I couldn't even begin to talk about it all today. We could probably talk about it for the rest of our lives and still never fully cover the topic of God's love. So what I want to do today is I want to share with you five things that God's love is. So number one, God's love is gracious. Do you realize how gracious God's love is for us? When you think about it, do we fully understand what it is that we deserve versus what we have received? See, God loves us for who we are, not for what we can bring to the table or for what we can give to Him. So a lot of times people love other people for what they can get out of the relationship or for what the other person can give to them. You know, they base their love on superficial characteristics. They base it on things such as, oh, they're a good-looking person, or they have money, or they have nice clothes. And these kind of things, they attract other people. But there's really nothing within us that attracts God. In fact, our very sin nature should make God want to run away from us and go the other direction. But God doesn't do that. He doesn't turn away from us and run away. He comes to us with love. You know, God loves us even though we're dirty. He loves us in our filthy clothes. And He loves us even though we're sinners. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 says this, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God showed His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." So these verses talk about how God was willing to sacrifice His Son for us while we were still sinners. It also says, you know, no one's going to die for a sinner. No one would want to do that. People don't go and say, "I'm going to die for this guy because he's a sinner." It says, you know, very rarely will someone even die for a good person. But God's love is gracious, and He demonstrates it this way by sending His Son to die for us. His willingness to sacrifice His Son shows us that He is gracious. You see, the love that God gives us isn't something we deserve. We deserve death. Instead, God gives us life and He gives us love. And that's why He is a God of gracious love. Number two, God's love is unlimited. How many of you have ever been to a buffet restaurant? Have you ever been to a buffet? Okay, they tell you, eat all the food you want. You know, we've got all this food, eat until you're full, keep eating, you know, unlimited food for you today. You know, that really can't happen. Because if you sit there all day and eat and eat and eat, one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to get too full and you can't eat anymore, or you're going to eat so much, they're going to run out of food. See, the kitchen doesn't have an unlimited amount of food. Even though they tell you, eat as much as you want, eventually they'll run out of food. But God does not run out of love. God's love is unlimited, and it will never run out. We can sit here all day, and we can take from God, we can take His love, and He can just keep giving it. He keeps giving it. One of God's main characteristics is that He is infinite. And infinite means unmeasurably great or unlimited. So no matter how hard we try, we can't fully grasp the enormity of God's love. We can't comprehend how great His love is for us. Now, if you were to try to compare God's love to the highest mountain, His love continues beyond the height of that mountain. And His love is deeper than the deepest oceans. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19 says this: "So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength and comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." These verses talk about how God's love surpasses all knowledge. Think about that for a minute. God's love surpasses all knowledge. Now, we live in a day and age of technology. And part of that technology is we have information available to us at any time. It's right there at our fingertips. If you don't know the answer to something, what can you do? You take out your smartphone, you take out your iPhone, and you ask Google a question, and Google spits out the answer, and there you have your information. But even with all this knowledge that's available to us, we cannot know the extent of God's love for us. You can get on your phone and you can go to Google and ask, "How much does God love me?" And Google can't really answer that question for you. Sure, it'll give you some websites to go look at, but it doesn't really cover the extent of God's love. Because God's love is unlimited. You can never use it up. Number 3. God's love is unchanging. Now, human love, it changes over time. At a certain point, in certain times in people's lives, they love a certain activity, they love certain things, and then as they grow older and as they mature, their tastes change and they start to love different things. Right now here in Japan, all the little kids, they love Yo-Kai Watch. How many of you have heard of Yo-Kai Watch? If you have kids, you know Yo-Kai Watch. All these kids, they really love Yo-Kai Watch right now. It's the thing to love. But in a few months, Yo-Kai Watch will be old and they'll start to love something else. Some new TV show or new card game will catch their attention and they'll start to love that. Now that happens even with grown-ups. People, they say, "Oh, I love this person," and they think they're in love, and then 6 months later, "I'm in love with this person," and their love changes. But God's love never changes for us. It doesn't change with every new season in life. It doesn't change when something new comes along or someone new comes along or something new comes into existence. God loves us even in the difficult times, even in the dark times in our life. And when it feels like we're going through a losing streak in life, God doesn't stop loving us even though we're in a losing streak. In fact, He's right there with us, walking through that losing streak with us, reaching out to help pull us out of that losing streak. When we hurt Him or we offend Him, He doesn't stop loving us. And when we express to God how we're feeling and we tell Him, "God, I'm really upset with You because, things aren't going well in my life right now," He doesn't say, "Okay, I've had it with you because we have an argument." No, He continues to love you. I read this quote from a pastor this week, and this is what this pastor said about God's love. "Love that will love no matter what the cost. Love that will love no matter what way you turn out, or no matter what you do, or no matter what you say right into the face of the one who is loving you. That is God's love." Because God's love for us is unchanging, that also means Nothing can separate us from that love. We are joined together with God's love, and nothing can pull us away from it. Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 39. Paul writes, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, 'For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered.' No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." So in verse 35, Paul asks the question, who can separate us from the love of God? And of course, Paul doesn't like to leave questions unanswered, so he goes on to answer the question for us. And he asks again, can trouble, can danger, can famine, can even death separate us from the love of God? And Paul tells us, no, there's nothing in all of creation that can separate us from the love of God. Not even death. You see, the exciting thing is, not only is God's love unchanging and unlimited, but it is also eternal. Which brings us to point number 4. God's love is eternal. Human love is limited to our time here on earth. When we die, we stop to love the people here on earth. But God's love isn't limited to our time here on earth. And even more than that, God's love has existed from the beginning of time. And it will continue forever. Jeremiah 31, verses 2 and 3. "Thus says the Lord, the people who survived the sword found grace in the wilderness. When Israel sought for rest, the Lord appeared to him from far away. He said, 'I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, I have continued my faithfulness to you.'" So God has loved us with an everlasting love. Think about it this way. Before you were born, God loved you. He knew that you would exist one day, and He loved you. He knew that one day I would walk this earth and that I'd be standing here today talking about His love. And He loved me from that moment that He knew I was going to exist. He even knew you, everyone sitting here today. He knew that one day you would be sitting here and that you'd be hearing about His love. And He's loved you from the beginning of time. God loves the people that are going to be born tomorrow, the next day, people even 100 years from now. He loves them right now. But when our time here on earth ends, that doesn't mean His love ends for us. His love continues for us even after we have died. His love is going to continue when we're in heaven. And we get to be in heaven for all eternity with Him, and we get to soak up God's love while we're in heaven. And we in our heavenly bodies, we will give back to that love. We'll give back to Him by worshiping Him day and night. And the love we'll experience in heaven is going to be unlike anything we've ever experienced before. It won't be like human love. It's going to be a love shared between the Creator and the created, between the Savior and the saved. Which brings me to my last point, number 5. God's love is a saving love. John chapter 3 and verse 16. "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." This single verse, this one verse, it sums up God's love perfectly. God loved the world so much that He sacrificed His Son so that we could be saved. And that saving love is not excluded from anyone. See, God's saving love is inclusive. He died for everyone. And to me, this is the most single important aspect of God's love. In my mind, and for me personally, I look at it this way. Without God's saving love, all of the other aspects of God's love really don't matter. Now, let me explain what I mean by that. If I can't be saved by God's love, then it doesn't do me any good to know that God's love is gracious. Because it's not really gracious if it doesn't save me. And it doesn't do me any good to know that God's love is unlimited, because if it can't save me, then it's limited. In the same way, it's not everlasting if it can't save me. It ends at one point, then it's not eternal. See, what really separates Christianity from all the other belief systems in the world is the fact that God loves us with a saving love, and He wants us to experience that love. What I want you to do is I want you to think of God's love as a circle. And at the top of the circle is the starting point. And the starting point is God's saving love. And as you go around the circle, you run into the fact that God's love is eternal. And then as you keep going around the circle, you see that His love is unchanging. And you keep going around, you see that it's unlimited. And you go back to the top, and it's gracious. So you see the circle of God's love is all connected. And it never ends. There's no beginning, and there's no end to a circle. And that's the same with God's love. It's all united. If you take one part of it out, it's really not God's love. Now, as I conclude this today, I'm going to have Brad play the song that I mentioned earlier. And I want you to listen to this song, and this song that's an expression of God's love for us. And I want you to sit there, and I want you to enjoy God's love and delight in God's love and that love that He has for you. But if you've never experienced God's love, I want you to really think about what I've talked about today and think about how much God loves you. Even if you don't think God loves you, the fact that you're alive and breathing today is an example of His love for you. But if you have experienced His love, I want you to really think about it and think about all the things that He has done for you and the love that He has shown you throughout your life. And after the song finishes, I'll come back and I'll close in prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you love us with a saving love, a love that's everlasting, a love that's unlimited and unending and unchanging, Lord, and a gracious love, a love that allowed you to send your Son to die for us so that we could receive your salvation, Lord, so that we could spend all eternity with you. We could spend eternity in your presence, loving you and having you love us. I just pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who's never experienced your love, that today would be the day they experience your love, that they would know what it means to be fully alive in you, Lord. I just pray for those of us who have experienced your love, that we would continue to enjoy that love and to experience it every day and to appreciate it and to share that love with others, Lord. Pray that this week we would find one person even that we could share the love that you have for us and share that with them, Lord. I just pray that we view this as a church as we are about to enter into a new season, Lord, with a new pastor, that you just continue to use this church as a beacon of your love in this community, Lord, and that the city of Osaka would know that you love it and that you love everyone in the city. We pray this in your name. Amen.